your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with another one of my long-term acquaintances, and I don't know if we could say friends, because Michelle was a young girl when I first met her, and but I did meet her mom, who's sort of more my age, in Nelson in the early 1980s when Reiki was just beginning to flourish there. And Inger Randles and I have had a long-term relationship ever since then. And Inger has been on the show before, and now we have her daughter, Michelle. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phyllis. It's nice to be here.
And it's wonderful because I get to speak to all these wonderful people that I haven't spoken to in just years and years and years, and to catch up on your life from way back when. So I guess the very beginning point of our talk today would be to just ask you, when was the first time that you heard about Reiki, and what was that like for you?
Well, maybe this might be redundant in terms of the interviews that you've done with my mom, but I'll go there anyways. We moved to BC in 1979 from a small community in Alberta to another small community just outside of Nelson called Balfour. And my mom was working as a real estate agent in Nelson at that time, and was introduced to a woman who had come into her office. Her name was Wanya Tuan, and her and her two girls were looking for a ride home that day, and my mom was going in that direction and offered her a ride. And so her introduction was on that day, and this woman had said, you know, I can't pay you for the ride, but I have healing hands. And that's how Reiki started in our lives. And my mom had gotten involved with her shortly after that for some medical reasons. And Reiki was introduced to our family by raking the plants and the dogs and the neighbors and you name it. Everyone had a try, and it was a very positive experience for us.
Uh-huh. And so how old were you then?
1979, so I was in grade 4, I think. How old are you in grade 4? I think I was 11 or 12.
11, 12, yeah.
Yeah, so quite young.
Yeah, and did it feel natural for you to be having your mom all of a sudden start doing what is called generally laying on of hands and talking about Reiki, a kind of different topic?
Well, I think in some ways, you know, privately within our home, it didn't feel different because it felt loving and supportive, which is what Reiki is too, and touch was a part of our family, and that part felt safe and exciting. And I think when we started to move outside of that a little bit, and then people, they named it a bit differently, like, you know, you're a psychic or you have healing powers or, you know, can you... It became a little bit bigger than what it was because, you know, people took it there. That uh-huh. part was interesting to manage in terms of the perceptions and what it was really about. And so it was difficult in the beginning for me to explain what it was my mom did.
Uh-huh. Right, I can imagine.
Yeah, you know, I tried everything that was... I could possibly associate it with it in the beginning. She's a therapist. She's a counselor. sort of depending on what community I was with, and so that part was not particularly easy for me. I mean, my dad was very conservative, an electrician. So, you know, lucky that he worked with, you know, she said he worked with energy too, in a different way. But the two ways of being in the world were significantly different, and I wasn't, I was a part of both of those worlds, but trying to maintain, you know, normality is what I thought was normal in Nelson, going to school and playing basketball and eating lunch with my friends.
Right, right. So when did you get initiated, and how did that happen?
I was first initiated with Wanda, I think a couple years after, so I got my first degree, and immediately noticed significant improvements in my schoolwork and in my relationships and in sort of how I managed my life. I immediately felt that I wasn't sure exactly how to describe that again. So a lot of my early experience with Reiki was felt quite private. I think that, you know, my mom and I are different in terms of she's much more extroverted than I am, and so helped me name a lot of the things that she saw, and that was neat for me. So yeah, I think 11 or so I was had first degree, and then shortly after I got my second degree, and again, significant personal changes, and felt like I was, you know, better able to manage the world and relationships, and saw how things worked and didn't work. Life just seemed a little bit easier. And then in 1992, I was initiated as a Reiki master, again by my mom, in Victoria, and that has been quite significant and just a true blessing in my life. Uh-huh. So I've gone from first degree to Reiki master, and so Reiki's been in my life since the early 80s.
So how is it for you to have your mom be your mom and your Reiki master? Do you find that there are personal boundary issues, or you wonder, is she being my Reiki master now, or being my mom, or does it all kind of morph into the same person?
No, it doesn't. There were some boundary issues, for sure. Yeah, you know, when you just want your mom to listen to what you're going through and acknowledge, I'm sorry that you're feeling that way, or that doesn't feel good, or that hurts. Often there was struggles for me, and I didn't know what it was in the beginning around having someone not be my mom but be my therapist.
Oh, right.
And I didn't always want that, for sure.
Right.
I wanted her to be, and sometimes she was in presentation mode or facilitation mode, and I kept sort of looking at her, where is my mom in that? I just want my dinner, and I want help organizing my homework, and I don't want that other piece. So sometimes it felt like it interrupted our relationship.
Uh-huh.
And other times, you know, I would say most of the time in between those pieces that were difficult to manage, I felt very proud of her. It was something that she was very inspired by and loved, and moved her life from Canada to Europe, and she was very successful, and she was really, really happy. So I saw it as a positive and welcomed addition to our lives as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you... I can't remember how old you must have been when she ended up sort of starting to travel to Europe and then eventually live there. And I'm wondering if there were any feelings of being abandoned or anything. And I'm not doing a blame thing on your mom, because I know that.
You'll hear from her. You know that.
Yeah, I know. But also, I feel that in those days, you know, Reiki was our passion. And I speak for myself at the same time. I had stepchildren, as you know. And we just moved out into the world where Reiki called us.
Yeah.
And I feel that in hindsight, sometimes I, for instance, have said, gee, I wonder if things would have been different for my kids if I had, you know, not been traveling so much. And you know, you can't really go back and rectify it, but it, you know, it's interesting because Reiki masters still travel, and
yeah,
they still leave their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And so on. So I don't mind. This is not a psychotherapy thing. This is just a, you know, you're a kid and how that was that for you.
Well, I would probably not be truthful if I didn't say that it didn't hurt, for sure.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I remember when she first told me that she was heading to Calgary and had a contact there, and they were very excited, and they had, you know, Dutch contacts in Holland, and, you know, wow, what a coincidence, because she spoke the language and had lived there, and this was an opportunity for her to heal her past. And so initially it was, wow, where is my mom going? What is this that she's doing, and why is it taking her away from me? And it was painful. I will not say anything else. I suppose the abandonment part was, my dad wasn't well at the time, and and I felt like I had just inherited an enormous responsibility to manage him and to maintain our household and to go to school and be a normal teenager. And I think I grew up really, really quickly, and I think that, you know, the balance of having Reiki and that energy support me was significant and really helped balance me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did resent that initially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I knew and I got to live with her for a year in Holland, so that was wonderful for me, and she was busy and still happy, and I think seeing your parents happy is really important. And I don't know how happy she was prior to that, but inheriting sort of where my dad was and where our house was, and, you know, we had a lot of financial difficulties back then too, and it was hard on everyone. Yeah.
Well, that must have been quite a wonderful and interesting, shall we say, experience to move to Holland for a year. How old were you then?
I moved there for my 11th year, so I was 17.
Yeah,
just turned 17.
Yeah, and how? And you know, and you really got to see your mom's kind of Reiki life up close and personal.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, we had workshops in her house every other weekend, and she traveled to Belgium and to Germany and to, you know, a lot of neighboring countries, and was away quite a lot. So I went to a private school, and when she was home, we traveled together, and we did lots of wonderful things together. So it afforded us a really wonderful time in our lives, because she was, you know, really quite successful at it, and I got to meet a lot of the other Reiki masters and was intimate with, you know, sort of the process that was going on around Reiki at that time.
Mm-hmm.
The discovery, the organization of it, the format of it, the conferences, the just the intimate and adult world that I had never been involved in like that. So it was very engaging and inspiring, and sometimes scary, just watching what these adults did and what they were going through. The emotional turmoil at sometimes was, whoa, I don't think I'll do this for a career.
Great. Well, that's a good place to end for our first segment.
Okay.
Well, we'll be back with Michelle after this. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's Seventh Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
Are you tired of carrying a heavy wooden massage table around? Is your back sore? Or do you have imprints of cables and braces on your kneecaps after sitting and giving a Reiki treatment? Try a lightweight Astrolite massage table for maximum comfort. Contact us, Paul or Upasana, at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her two-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Michelle Randles, and again, as with some of the other people that I'm interviewing right now, I've known her mom for many, many, many years, and we've had wonderful and exciting and passionate processes within our practice of Reiki together. And Michelle is just talking a bit about the year that she spent in Holland with her mother at the age of 17 in her second to the last year of her high school, and just what it was like to see adults kind of going through their, this is a word that's kind of a key word in the Reiki community, process. So usually I guess that as teenagers, we're sort of used to our parents being fuddy-duddies and being stable and having this very, not static, but just a sort of foundation kind of presence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like, seeing adults kind of going crazy?
Well, I guess to comment on your foundation word, I think that you know, Holland was a lot different than Nelson, because Nelson, you know, work was up and down and house sales were up and down, and my dad had a job and then he didn't have a job, and so when she left to go to Holland, she was busy, like busier than, more than she could handle at times, and that gave us stability. We, you know, we had regular income, we had regular food, we had regular planning, we had regular travel, we had regular holidays, and so that was incredible. Back to the watching people go through their process, I think it, at times, like I sometimes it was hard for me to figure out, is this Reiki or is this people?
Uh-huh. Okay.
What is going on for these people? And so it took me quite a while to know the difference. And then when I got older and people asked me, oh, you're a Reiki master, I'd love to try that, it took me a while to sort out what was Reiki and to describe that to people and what might happen to people, because I saw the two blended and it was a bit confusing for me.
So did you ever figure out the little boundary line between Reiki and people?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I described the technique. This is the possibility with it. You know, it's about self-awareness. It helps open up that for you. It will bring things to your life as you become conscious, and this is the technique. And I described that to people. So I made it really clear that it wasn't about me, and I feel that gives Reiki more power, gives its power back, actually.
Uh-huh.
Because rather than me being really crafty and creative and innovative with my language and my ability to touch people and care for people, I certainly have that, but that's me. And yes, is that enhanced by my training and my work with Reiki? Yes, it is, but it is a big part of who I am, and Reiki doesn't doesn't bring you to that. You do, being a conscious person. And maybe you would disagree. I don't know, but I think that that those two, I think that they are two intimate, interrelated pieces. But Reiki is this too. Like, what exactly is Reiki? And I spent many, 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 many hours, I bet, describing that to people, and that's just where I got to it over time.
Well, I think when you bring up this part, it's an interesting mix because this is sort of how the linear process goes for me. We all have Reiki, and as people, because we wouldn't be alive without the energy of Reiki. And that Reiki allows us, because it's a natural part of who we are, allows us to grow into the person that we really come to this earth with. And then there are these intervening factors of environment and our own personality that grows, and our relationships with our parents and the people who sort of assist us in finding out our own cosmology of the universe, whether the world is a friendly, user-friendly place or the world is a scary place, those kinds of things. And sometimes it seems that parents don't have any influence on this, but I think there is some. And eventually we kind of grow into our own style of how we live our life. And when people come back to come into the practice of Reiki, I feel what we're doing is really coming back to an authentic place within ourselves. And so it's not that Reiki put something in our life that we haven't had before, but it just brings up this part of our authentic life that we have hidden or suppressed or ignored because it wasn't socially acceptable, or it wasn't who we wanted to be, or it wasn't who somebody else wanted us to be. And I think that there are a lot of people who have varying degrees of process in this, because some of us are very defended, and some of us are not defended at all within this. So I think it's this really interesting balance between the impetus of the energy of Reiki, the motivating force of having a practice and practicing and living with Reiki and being conscious, and then our own own individual life process.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's... is that basically how you have experienced it?
Yeah, I think it is. I like how you said it brings up our authentic life, and I think that that's very true. I think that as soon as I got Reiki, as I said originally, the things felt better. They moved better. I think internally I felt supported, like I had a place to rest on, and I think that was because I believed in something which I was believing in myself.
Which is what
I think I heard you say about that authentic life that we may or may ignore. But I think Reiki brings you to that.
Wonderful. Well, I understand that you were initiated as a Reiki master in 1992.
Yep.
And this was also the year that you graduated from college?
Yeah.
So that was an interesting kind of juxtaposition in your life, two very clear kind of initiations. And I'm wondering, then, where did your life lead you then after that?
Well, I finished my degree in education and health promotion at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. And really wasn't sure what path I would take, and by coincidence, of course there's no coincidence, I met an instructor I had years before who was head of our counseling program and said, we both have a common interest in health and wellness. I'm drawing up a job description for this position. Would you apply? And I did. And it was all about healing and trying on alternative ways of having people see themselves in an organized, structured college setting. And it was quite wonderful for me. I felt very authentic there and practiced what I thought would be the best way of reaching people and helping people heal themselves in the best way you can in a structured organization.
And did Reiki enter into that at all, like what I would call obviously, or was Reiki more of a support for you personally?
I think most of it, Reiki, was a support for me, but there were certainly times where we had, you know, entire days dedicated to wellness and health offerings, and we brought people in to do Reiki and reflexology and acupuncture, and so we introduced it for sure.
Great. And did you teach them as a master, or did you have other people come in and teach Reiki?
I didn't do it myself, just being the coordinator of those offerings.
Right.
I didn't have time to actually do that myself. But I made it known to people that that was an interest in a gifting that I had, and certainly people came to me for treatments. But it wasn't something that I actually offered as part of our wellness programs.
Uh-huh. It sounds fascinating, and I'm amazed that there are these focuses that your generation, and I'm sure future generations will have, that were not known at all to us when we were in college. And I think this is fantastic that you were able to find your interest in education as well as in this other part of your education and have it dovetail so beautifully together.
Yeah, it was a nice marrying for me, for sure. Yeah, I really enjoyed that time of my career. And I think that growing up, I think that maybe that's part of where I just need to let it go, you know, easier said than done, about having to describe it so often to people and having a variety of responses to it, and most positive, I would say, but others, you know, a little bit teasing and bugging a little bit and condescending. And so I think that as I moved into this role, my first real job after university, I really knew it was important, but I didn't want to deal with that attitude. And so I blended it in a way that was not obvious to people, but that they still got it.
Well, that's good. And did you feel like you were... it sounds like that you were, in a way, providing a platform from which you could stand and be clear about your practice of Reiki while at the same time honoring this other place that you were holding within the outer community, well, we could call it the outer community, and not... Because I think sometimes there's a wish for people for the boundaries to be a little bit more, that the boundaries are not as clear. And I think that when boundaries aren't clear, there can be some mixing of things that aren't really healthy actually for both sides. Would you say that was true?
I would say so, and I think that was part of my experience growing up, you know, having a lot of therapists and especially a lot of Reiki masters in my home from time to time where, you know, I didn't really want to participate in healing circles or having someone sing my name in a group of 35 people. It felt very uncomfortable for me, even though it was loving and about moving spirit and about creating community. I knew what it was about, but it was uncomfortable. And and I am so thankful I went through it, because I think you move through things when you're uncomfortable. But I would agree that I wanted to respect people's boundaries. And I think that wellness and health and all the things that fall under that are personally and intimately connected to who people are. And I think it's really important to respect boundaries.
Yeah. Thank you. Me too. It's time for break. This is Phyllis Kuramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a Transforming World. Seventh Wave Network.
Reiki treatments can be done almost anywhere. On the floor, on a bed, or even on the dining room table. But I certainly prefer giving and receiving treatments on my comfortable, lightweight Astrolite massage table. Contact us for more information at www.portablemassagetables.com. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Create a life with growth, balance, abundant peace of mind, and joy. Tune in and call into Spirits Evolving with pragmatic psychic and certified hypnotherapist, Lee Channing. By using the simple tools for growth offered by Lee, including intuition, color awareness, creative visualization, and more, build a stronger understanding of your own energy and offer clear, unencumbered energy to those with whom you share your life. Whether for an individual or a business, home environment, or your office, Lee evaluates and interacts with the energy at hand, providing an analysis of the problem and a description of the options available to move forward successfully and with grace. Spirits Evolving with Lee Channing, broadcast each Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Seventh Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spirits Evolving, your guide toward a life filled with more balance, intention, and contentment.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Kuramoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Michelle Randall. She lives in Alberta, Canada. And Michelle, I'm wanting now to shift this conversation a little bit and wondering if you have any stories that come to mind of when you were a child that you participated in Reiki or something happened in your life that felt very connected with Reiki and that you tell, say, in your classes or to people when you're talking about Reiki to them?
I think some of my stories are my mom's stories for sure, because they had an impact on, you know, how I described or what could potentially happen out of the many, many, many things that could go on inside a person. And one story in particular was about when my mom was first practicing Reiki, a woman in our community had said, "Oh, I heard you have healing hands, and could I come?" So she said yes, and this woman came, and this woman had pyorrhea. And so my mom did an initial treatment, and of course pyorrhea, great infection in the gums, the woman, regardless of having Reiki or not, would have lost her teeth. And that is exactly what happened. And so this woman was obviously very upset about it, my mom was now a witch in this community, and as it was described to me back then. And I tell that story to clients and students because Reiki is about moving you to that authentic place and about taking responsibility, and that it does have a powerful way of moving when you're ready for it or not. And I think it was an important lesson for me to look at Reiki that way, as opposed to look at the poor woman who had no more teeth. So that was a profound learning opportunity for me. I had similar experiences like that where I just was a little bit naive in terms of what might happen. And another woman I did a treatment on, she lived with dwarfism and had metal rods in her legs, and I didn't know, and got up and was quite frightened, and things had shifted in her body, and And again, once we figured out what was going on, I was better able to describe how the energy of Reiki was working. She didn't come back, but that was okay. I think that there was some understanding about the energy and how that would have worked with metal rods in your body. So, yes, it's some interesting experiences with clients over those years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So just out of curiosity, what did happen to the woman with metal rods in her legs? I'm just...
Her body, she was literally, she felt frozen. She felt like her limbs weren't moving, her muscles were tightening up, and I, you know, just sort of generally thinking about it, I think that that Reiki was moving in her body and moving to places that needed significant healing, and was conducting differently, if you want to call it that, and not really moving through at a regular pace or like it would be without those in the body. That was my take on it, and that's what I described to her. I guess in some points it's really all about interpretation.
My immediate response, of course, is, well, it's too bad that you couldn't have given her quite a lot more Reiki, because it seems like there was some reaction, and as my grandmother would say, not sick reaction.
Yeah.
So then more Reiki would have been lovely, but, you know, people have choice, and I think that's a good lesson to learn young.
Yeah, it was a good lesson, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. And what about Reiki on you? Do you have any, or is it just all blended in as a part of your life that,
Yeah, I would say it is blended, and I don't. I'm quite busy in a job right now, working in Alberta, and so it has been on my sort of to do list to do more treatments. I haven't had time, or probably in all honesty, it isn't my form of. I didn't want to teach classes. I have taught some classes, and I've been asked to do that. But it hasn't really been the form of the way I want to express Reiki in my life. And so I continue to do treatments for people unadvertised, and will want to set that up again here in Alberta, but I haven't had time, just moving to a new province and getting a new job and those kinds of things and finding that community.
Mm-hmm.
But that's primarily how I've had, how Reiki's been involved in my life is personal and with personal connections I have around me, my friendships and my family.
Uh-huh. Speaking of your family, if we can go back a little bit, you said that when Reiki came into your family life, it there was a noticeable difference, I believe that's what you said. And I'm wondering if you can be more clear about what that difference is. Did it make life more harmonious, or... Yeah, was there more connection, or I'm just wondering if you have any words for that.
I think it had. I'm only the observer when I'm speaking about my family.
Right. Right.
So.
okay, that's clear.
Yeah, I think for my brothers, there was a sense of what is this? Sure, mom's doing it, we'll try it, and all of them have Reiki, including my dad. And none of them did anything particular with it other than they have it. And they don't practice or don't do treatments or don't really even and talk about it, and I would say that my middle brother doesn't even believe in it. And I think that if the question was, was it harmonious in terms of bringing us together, I don't think so. No, I think that I saw a change in my mom, but it also happened at the time where my parents moved to a new province. My mom got Reiki, and my parents divorced.
Oh wow!
So the pairing, I think, for my brothers was significant, and I don't know that they don't see Reiki as one of the contributing factors in why their parents got divorced. And I
feel
see it
like
as two people who, I see that period of time of two people who were struggling for a long time in their relationship, and that Reiki was able to help them decide that this wasn't the best place for either of them.
Uh-huh.
But my brothers don't see it that way, I don't think.
Uh-huh. Well, it does often happen in with Reiki, as I've observed over the years, where people have come to a Reiki class and realized that there are different priorities and different values that have been happening, and that a fundamental there's a fundamental separation somehow, mm-hmm. you know, that wasn't obvious before.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. So, as Reiki has perhaps brought your life more into a focus and to seeing the places where you have value and you have priority, do you have an idea about what you might be doing in the future with Reiki?
You know what? I know that it's part of how I will move into more of my more of a healing role, because I think that that really is something that I want to do. I think I need to take pieces of all the things I know and
uh-huh.
make something authentically mine.
Uh-huh.
And Reiki will be a part of that, and I don't know exactly what format that will take
uh-huh.
at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that it's getting closer and closer, because I'm feeling the tension inside of not moving towards that.
Uh-huh.
You know? And
yeah, I understand that part.
Yeah, it feels actually quite intense.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, it's interesting, because I think in the generation, and I use the term generation very loosely, but in this generation where in which I knew your mom and we, you know, were moving into Reiki at the same time together, and there were hundreds and thousands of people doing this all at the same time, but mostly adults, that there is a really interesting line of demarcation between before and after Reiki. And then there is another place where people go where to be a Reiki master was something like more like a goal or something that would
yeah.
provide a way to, quote, support ourselves financially while nourishing, you know, our spiritual selves and feeling like we had something to contribute in the world and so on. And what I'm hearing from you and from a lot of what I call the children of Reiki is that Reiki becomes more of the fabric of your life. So there isn't a question of contribution. It's more like, well, what is my contribution?
Yeah.
And I think this is really significantly different. I don't know if that's true in your observation, but it's my working theory these days.
So just to clarify, you're saying that rather than Reiki being the form of how we make our living and pass that on, it is just part of us.
Yes, more that. But you know, this is a great place to take a little break, because it's time, and we'll come back to this in just a few moments.
Thank you.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Formative.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The law of attraction is very much in today's public awareness. In reality, it is not a new concept. Join Liana Carbone for Living Wisdom, the Art of Shamanism and Spirituality. Discover the roots of the law of attraction and go beyond its theories to manifest a life of balance and prosperity. Living Wisdom can be heard each Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Come join us to dream, learn, and heal.
Reiki practitioners everywhere prefer Astrolite massage tables because of optimum portability, leg clearance, easy setup, comfort, and quality. For 15 years, Rampa Enterprises, previously Magic Flute, has been shipping tables around the world to the global Reiki community.
Why wait any longer to get yours? Contact us now through our website at www.portablemassagetables.com and we'll help you select just the right table to fit your needs. Astrolite, the table of a lifetime.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here with Michelle Randall, and I just had a kind of theory I was passing by her. So I'll repeat it again just to make it more clear and maybe in different words. It seems to me that in the last 30 years, for the most part, when people have come to what I call Reiki mastery, they come because they are propelled by a passion and perhaps by motivations like, this is something that I really want to do so I can contribute to the world. This is something that I can do that allows me to live my potential. This is something I can do to, make a difference in the world. And being a child of the 60s, or if I may be so bold as to be a generalization of this generation, making a difference was really an important value for us. And in listening to what I call you guys, children of Reiki, what I realize is that there's a difference in where Reiki comes to you and how it's expressed. So it's not so much of a goal to be a Reiki master. It's just a part of who you are.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. But I wanted to make a comment because you were saying, as part of your generation, it was really important for you to, propel your passion and contribute to the world and make a big difference.
Yeah.
It's the same for us. I don't have any difference there. I want to contribute. I know that I have a very special gifting with people. I just don't know the form of that right now. And I have all of these things behind me, life experience, Reiki, dealing with volunteers, living in a different country, traveling, being part of a development seminar. I have a whole bunch of those things that all come together to make this gift really unique. And I don't know exactly how to express that yet or where it will best be used. And I know that I'm still using it day to day. So I have a deep passion and desire to contribute to this world and make a difference too. And I also already know that I'm doing that day to day.
That's great.
And I don't think I sometimes get, stuck in that thinking that, unless I'm recognized and rewarded and people say, oh, wow, look at that, that I reached the goal.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that I'm looking for that recognition. I just don't yet know that I have gotten there.
Right.
But I know it's my path to make that difference, too. And the reason I think this is an interesting comment about your theory of your generation versus my generation, because I went to a presentation a couple weeks ago on Gen Y, and they were talking about their value system and what they need in terms of work and how they need a good vision and a good leader and good communication. And this is how you can communicate with us, and these are the things we need. And at the end of it, I felt a little irritated, and I said to her, I need those things too. And the way I go about getting it is different than the way you go about getting it.
Mm-hmm.
Those are our differences in terms of our generation. But in terms of what we value, it's the same.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
And I think that you know, Reiki for you is big and bold because it was brand new. I mean, you can buy Reiki around the corner these days and get it in an hour. And you know, I a couple of my friends at work said, you know, I really want to, you know, get some treatments. There was a great clinic down the street. I said, well, you know, I said, if you need it right away, try this. And then when I talked to the Reiki person there, I said, what's your lineage? Who's your teachers? And you know what? She didn't know. And you know what? She gave a great treatment, and she was very intuitive and very sensitive. And I feel disappointed about that.
Uh-huh.
So that's just my point, that I think that our generation, too, it just our contribution looks different. And there are generational differences. Baby boomers and Gen Ys, well, many.
Okay, so for some of our listeners, you might have to, I'd like for you to define the term Gen Y.
Gen Y is, I think, the cohort between 1973. You know what? I wouldn't quote me on the age, but they're about 10 years younger than me, so I'm 39. They're in that 29-ish range.
Uh-huh.
And they're called Gen Ys. And then the group after them is the group called the Millennials.
Great.
So if anyone's interested in that, just look it up on the internet. You can get the dates on that.
Oh, great.
And a whole lot of information to go with it.
Is this human resources lingo? Or?
No, it's not. No, not at all. It's just about what we talk about sometimes in our work around how do we market to different groups and what's important to them and what do they value when we're putting on our learning offerings. We make sure that our messaging is what's important to them.
Right. Right. Good. Well, that's interesting. Well, I do agree with you that, and I stand not corrected, but assured that you have similar values about making a difference and making a contribution and so on, which I totally get. And what's interesting for me is that Reiki, like the actual, what we call the teaching and the practice, meaning treating other people, may or may not be the focal expression of that contribution.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that, yeah.
And this, I think, is really wonderful because it means that there is an integrational process that is happening, so it becomes a part of the fabric of somebody rather than the expression of that person's who they are contribution. And I feel that this this gives people a really wonderful way to use Reiki, but in something that's so fundamental that it's almost unspeakable. Like, I don't really have words for where this goes.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think it is unspeakable, and it's very powerful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I feel Reiki people. I mean, just hearing your voice, I went back to many memories of you. Walking the market in Holland and seeing you in Nelson.
Right.
I can still see you in that little corner house that wasn't far from the house we had. And all of that brings up a sense of community and a sense of power and a sense of commitment to the same thing. And it feels good. It feels really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good to me too. And this part about it becoming, or about it moving from sort of a phenomenology or, you know, this is the phenomena of Reiki to this is how we live Reiki.
Yeah.
And how Reiki moves through our lives. It's a great movement. I mean, I feel that this trend is sort of awakens this feeling of, I don't know if the word is really hope, because I have some therapeutic issues around the word hope.
Okay.
it gives me a sort of, it gives me a long-term view that feels more peaceful inside myself.
Yeah, I would imagine being in the place that you were way back then when all that storming, norming, and forming was happening, that that has to feel wonderful for you.
Yeah,
and it feels
it
wonderful
does.
For me too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. So I'm really looking forward to this, your generation and your contributions and how that will be expressed, which are, will be in ways that we, for me anyway, I will speak for me instead of my generation, but for me, I mean, I can't even imagine how this will be expressed because you all are so out there on the edge of new technology and new ways of connecting and really a global society. Like in my mind, we're still German, Italian, French, Americans, Canadians.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you guys are really living in a global community.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure a lot of people have spoken to it too, you know, just with Obama coming into the White House, I think that has given the world that awakening feeling.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's one man, yet his message is significant, and it feels like, at least we have someone to hold the energy for that movement to really be evident. Because
uh-huh.
it is there, and I know that that's just the way. And again, I'm not eliminating any generation by saying my generation. I'm just saying that's what my friends and my relationships and my family feel too.
Uh huh.
That right. And that's the way Reiki for me is being awakened.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, it's totally unfortunate that this is the end of our show. Mm-hmm. So. We'll leave with this wonderful message. And thank you, Michelle, for being on the show.
You are very welcome. Thank you for asking.
Oh, wonderful. And this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.